Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez, right?
And you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another week of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. And my goodness, we was in Texas, and it was snowing. But it was like on the cool, like, you know, I grew up pretty much in a place where there was snow and cold and all that. So even though now my blood has thinned and I'm like a Texan New Yorkian or a Texan Jerseyan, right? Like at this point, it was still like, you know, the next day it was like super sunny and it all kind of went away. And so today we have a really good guest that, you know, is a close friend. We keep building this friendship. I believe we'll traveling.
That's right.
You know, I have a great guest, and he's a real person who is going to talk us about some problems and some real solutions. And so, Pastor Nathan, Thrive Community, Athens. All the way from Greece. No, I'm kidding. Athens, Texas. There's an Athens, Texas, right?
There's
a couple Texas parts that seem. What's around there?
Ah, so you got Mars Hill, you know, as in biblical.
Yeah.
Palestine, you know, it's a hot place. But right in the Tyler, Canton. Yeah. We have Canton Trades Days. Everybody knows the La Pulga, the flea market. Right?
I mean, you speak Spanish
a little bit.
Listen, before we jump in, I just gotta say, because there's a lot of times that the Latino be looking real Latino, and then he's like, "Yeah, I don't speak Spanish," and I'll be like, "What?" And all of a sudden, hit him with some Spanish. Tell him hello.
Oh yeah, see, so I lived. Yo vivo en Honduras, and so cuando estaba allá, ellos me dijo, hey, ¿usted es Chile? ¿Usted es Chile? It's a white person, right?
And yeah.
No, I'm a gringo. They go, okay. ¿En serio? Sí. yo pensé que usted es Chile. Like, no soy Chile.
And so you go to Honduras all the time, right? And you're speaking
Love
Spanish.
Honduras, yeah.
We're going out there. You're doing a big thing out there.
Yeah, we're going out there in April. I'm so glad you and Ruthie are coming with us.
It's
exciting.
Another
church, Bethel, coming from Austin. That's going to be fun. So we have looking like a 6,000-person crusade at the weekend. We're going to be doing street ministry, going into schools and places. Yeah, it's going to
be fun. You know, the preaching dialect kind of changes when you do the Spanish. Like, it's like, porque el señor no sabe. You know, you kind of go that way rather than the, you know, it's kind of funny how the English and the Spanish is just different.
It is, extremely.
You know, extremely different.
You know, when I practice, I always try to practice with people I see, and it's obvious, they speak Spanish. Even this morning, you know, you want to be familiar and let them know, hey, I'm trying to understand you, and you know, I recognize you. And usually people say, man, you have really good Spanish. Where are you from? I always get, where are you from? Texas.
You know, there's a girl that goes to our church, her name's Heather, and her family is actually, when she saw the post that I was at your church, she was like, that's where I'm from. So there's a girl in our church that's actually from Athens.
Okay.
And so she was telling me about, you know, this is the drug problems and all that stuff, which we usually know in small town and small communities, especially if there's farming involved. You know, they're cooking meth, they're doing all that stuff, which most of the planet, I don't know. But small towns are just really bad drug problems sometimes. Really big on family, barbecue and all that stuff. But at the same time, it brings a lot of issues, you know, when I usually hear it's like, there's not a lot to do or whatever, and they just lean to that, right?
Yeah,
and then
right.
It's generationally passed down, right?
Because
I remember, like, meth cooks and all that, they're like, I was a cook, my grandfather was a cook, my grand, you know, it's like, what? Like, it's like, as crazy as that sounds, it's like, we're reproducing either the spirit of God or the spirit of the enemy. And, you hear, like, a long line of meth cooks or a long line of, you know, and it just passes down.
Absolutely.
So you're a pastor of Thrive Community Church at Athens.
In Athens,
Man, and you're really big on Whataburger.
Love Whataburger.
Why?
Well, 30 years ago, my parents, my mom and stepdad, when they got married, they actually bought into the franchise.
Yep.
They kind of took everything, all their chips, put it all in, and moved there and babysat that thing. I mean, my stepdad would have to sit out with a shotgun and a deputy to run people off. That's how bad this store was.
Wow.
But they worked it. They worked their heart out. And
Whataburger.
Whataburger. Now we got 16.
And 16. So then you're also part of that.
A little part. Yeah. So I'm a 22.5% owner.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm just mentioning all this because I like, you know, movies that, you know, they see like this, but they don't really know the back end story, right? So somebody can say, well, they're a Whataburger, but they don't know that he stood there with a shotgun.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know all the like little details that kind of kept that thing going that now today is probably fruitful.
That's right.
But you had to enjoy. I was telling you when we were talking about like investing and stuff, and I was like, you got to embrace the reds.
That's right.
Really get a hold of the greens,
right?
Because you can't just be like, everything's a mountain. No, the valley is an essential part of also the mountain. Like they go together.
Yeah.
And we try to remove the valley, right? So all of this is happening. Church is thriving. No pun intended on the thrive thing.
Right. Well, I want to say too, because when we were, when Allie and I were on our way to your house yesterday, I didn't mention this, kind of tired, but my banker calls or texts me, say, hey, can we talk? So I called her and say, yeah. My loan officer's got, yes.
Absolutely.
She goes, hey, listen, I know you're trying to do some other investments and build some more development this coming year, but your numbers aren't looking good. I know you spent a lot and you guys are rebuilding. You got another loan. You added 5 units, or I said 6. And so she goes,
because you also have like, what is it? Las casitas,
villas. Uh-huh. They have geodomes now.
That's super dope.
A little Scandinavian.
Check it out
chalet.
On Airbnb, right? They can find it on Airbnb.
Yeah, Airbnb. Look at, you can actually look for me, Nathan Harrington, Airbnb, or Selah.place. Selah.place, even
pause
better.
Pause and think. Okay, keep going.
And so, so we added another two properties, one property with a container home. And anyway, she's like, hey, we need to do something so that we can get you moving. She goes, I know you're still making the money, but it looks like on paper. I was like, no problem. You know, that's the red, right? Now, I'm grinding. I said, listen, I'm grinding. We're last 4 months have been the best months of the 3 years.
That's
and so
dope.
We've been trenching and now we're building, but I'm not going to stop building because I know it's coming.
Yeah, that's really good. So, okay, so right now they're like, man, that's awesome, you know, that, you know, he's pastoring a church, you know. Pretty soon later on the show, we're going to bring in, you know, the Jedi.
Oh,
we're going to bring in, Pastor Allie to actually talk maybe some about your marriage, maybe a little about your story. But right now, I kind of just wanted to go back.
Good.
Right? Because a lot of times people see successes, they think it's overnight. They think, you know, they're like, oh, wow, that dude's doing really good. And I like talking about real stuff, right? So we're like being real, relevant, raw, like, you know. So was it always like this? Were you like always doing like this? Or were you like, what kind of life did you have before Jesus?
Yeah, that's good. Well, if I can go all the way back. So growing up, you know, we all live in dysfunctional families and we don't know it.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, you know, how dysfunctional my family was. My dad worked in the oil field. Kilgore is where I'm from. So, you know, another small town.
Yeah.
And he worked in the oil field, so he was gone a lot. But I didn't realize he was gone most nights because he also was hustling to make money in the pool halls, domino halls, poker tables, also doing a lot of sports betting and became a bookie. And so he would come home. He was a great coach. He was my baseball coach, my football coach. I mean, he was great. And all the other fatherless kids just flocked to him because he was very attentive and developmental like that.
Yeah.
But it was a struggle because growing up, I would be there with my mom. She would be crying most nights. And my dad, my brother would come in, see that. He started smoking crack at 13 years old. And so,
really?
Yeah.
How many siblings you got?
Lane. I got one blood sibling. I've got now 2 steps, stepbrother, stepsister. One stepbrother died in a car accident when I was 15. He was 16. And so, you know, other tragedies. But, you know, that kind of started out my childhood. You know, my brother got me when I was about 17.
Is he the older brother, the one that started smoking crack at 13?
Yeah, he's in prison right now. He should be getting out in the next 3 or 4 years.
Hey, I'm hoping you're watching. What's his name?
Matt Harrington right there in Beaumont, Texas.
I hope you're watching, man.
Because,
you know, this is pretty much nationwide in the prisons. Yeah,
that's great.
So it's pretty cool.
Go ahead. But he's a great dude. A sweetheart. I mean, like gentle heart, gentle giant, you know, the Ferdinand, the bull, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gentle giant. But, you know, whenever you're wounded and you're hurt and you have these unhealed aspects of your soul, you just kind of flesh some things out.
Yeah, because God, he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. So he created every single person.
That's right.
You know, and he sees like this awesome Matt Harrison.
That's right.
Now, we make choices that kind of remove us from the path that actually is supposed to be there. But, hey, you can repent
and God can restore
right.
and redeem and give you everything. We were talking about that yesterday.
That's right.
But go ahead.
And some get caught, some don't.
Yeah.
I just didn't get caught.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, by 17, you know, he's going to Mexico, picking up prescription medicines and like things like that, Xanax,
yeah.
whiteboard, all this stuff. And I'm selling it. I'm a preppy white boy playing sports, doing well, and still selling that in school. And another friend of mine, I was making a lot of money. Another friend of mine said, "Hey, man, I'll go to Houston, and I know a guy where I can pick up a bunch of weed." And I said, "Great, I got $5,000. Let me send it with you." And then that just kicked off something. So that was high school. And then getting out of high school, I was used to running people, leading people on the football field, the baseball field. And so internally, and yet by this time, my dad's really not in my life anymore.
Yeah.
We had about a 3-month on, 9-month off relationship. We still do.
Yep.
But... So by this time, I'm looking for my crowd. Like, I don't know. I'm aimless in this little town. What am I going to do next? What's my life going to look like? I have no clue. But I'm looking for my crowd. I still have people to lead. I don't know who that's going to be. So, man, I have a resource. I've got all these contacts, you know, drug contacts, and I can be their resource, and I can help them. Right?
Yeah.
That's the lie you believe. You know, you're just trying to help them, trying to help them with where they're going, what they want, whatever. And so that happened for 10 years. I took that was my life for 10 years of always. I mean, I was always running to get weed with somebody or drink or Xanax. I used to go down to Mexico myself to get pills at some point. My brother went to prison. He's like, "Here's what you do. Here's who you go see."
Yeah.
And
you know, so he passed that down.
He passed that down. Well, my dad also used to do that whenever he was growing up to make money.
And he passed that down.
But it wasn't a conversation. Hey, let's do this. It was just DNA, right?
And actions, right?
Yeah, and actions.
Because most people do what they see.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
They just do. It's modeled.
That's right.
Right? So you and it's interesting that I know you today, and I see, even though it might have been used for some bad things, mm-hmm. I see who you are now, mm-hmm. just in a different way. You were pretty much still leading and still doing certain things.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to find my place. So in that 10-year gap, I got married.
Yeah.
And to another girl who's like, she was a ringleader of her group, and I was a ringleader. We both just didn't work much. She was a millionaire by inheritance. Again, her family was, you know, hippies and drugs and all this stuff, some unfortunate situations. Her grandparents did well in the oil business. And so we just kind of hooked up, linked up. Well, we still did our lifestyle, you know, of partying, drugs, whatever.
That's
it was.
Wild, right?
And that was our life. I mean, I was growing marijuana, hydroponics. I mean, it's all kind of crazy stuff.
And with money already. You know, it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But
You know, there's never enough, right? Whenever you earn it that way.
Yeah.
And so at our wedding, my dad came, and I was like, you know, that empty soul that you have whenever you long for your father, you long for that place.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever, I just want to connect with him and hang out and do life with him. Well, he was at that point booking. He was taking sports bets.
Yeah.
And so I started working for him. Oh, within a year, we get kicked in. 16 DPS officers are coming in, guns drawn, cameras, the whole thing. Arresting us, taking all of our computers because we were linked into Las Vegas and taking, you know, real-time bets. All within Texas, though. That was the niche. So as long as you don't cross state lines, then you're pretty good. But we got arrested for engaging in organized crime. It was crazy as we went to the jail, got booked, and then released immediately. And, you know, we're crazy. We went right back to answering those phones. We just didn't have computers. We had to go get a contact to what are the lines right now. And
yeah.
we just kept doing the same day, kept receiving phone calls for it was playoff time. It was this time in December of, you know, that year in the early 2000s.
So when did you meet Jesus?
Man, I was tired of all that life. You know, I knew the conviction. It was really the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my heart.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed when we got arrested, but it didn't stop with what, you know, my lifestyle in general. And so I went through a divorce because I was just tired of doing all the drugs and alcohol. She wanted to stay doing the same things. She was like, she was very kind in the sense of, you know what, I just want out, because this was also the rhythm. You're talking about her mom was in a relationship every 5 to 7 years, and then she was in a relationship 5 to 7 years, and we had dated for 2, married for 5, and then we split. So we had 2 houses, actually. We had a house in town and a lake house.
Yeah.
And so she said, "I'm going to keep the lake house. I'm going to give you the house in town, and I'm going to pay off half the remaining balance of it." And I don't even want you going to court. Just sign the papers, and I'll take care of that. I don't want you going through that. So she was kind in that aspect.
Yeah. But so what's the day? How do you encounter Jesus?
Yeah,
what's
man,
the after, moment? I want you to take me to the moment.
That, after that, I had no control. I realized I had built this world full of idols and my own control, my own kingdom, and it was all crumbling out from under me. And I had no control over anything. I had no decisions to be. I mean, this was my friend, right?
Yeah.
So everything was falling apart. Thankfully, you know, I grew up in church until my parents got divorced around 12, 11, 13, sometime in there. Oh, my mom, my grandmother, every time I'd call, man, no matter what I said, she had a verse for it. Like, yeah. She was always speaking scripture back in. So to answer your question, I went out to her lake house, my grandmother's lake house, that's where they were. And she said, Nathan, is this the time? And I was broken. I said, this is the time. And I can see it right now, you know, in my mind's eye. Makes me want to cry right now. Yeah. And I said, yes, it is the time. I really need transformation. So she led me to the Lord. My grandmother led me to the Lord.
Isn't that beautiful, man?
It is. It is.
Like the thought of, like, when I'm hearing this, you know, a lot of times we look at, it's perspective.
Yeah.
And so we look at problems. Like, at that moment, you see the biggest problem in your life.
Yeah.
Right. But God sees an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, oh, this is what we see as this is horrible. He sees as this is perfect.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't use a, you know, we're all Billy Grahams in our own nature if we decide to choose the Lord and actually present it at the time. Right. So we're all. And those are the people that never really get talked about. So, you know, these stories, unless they come out. Yeah. So grandma who's asked you is this time. That means she's waiting.
She knows.
She's also waiting patiently.
That's right.
To like for that moment for Nathan to walk in.
Yeah.
And then bam.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the perfect ingredient, right? Like they said, the perfect storm is like the perfect storm.
It was. It really was for me. That's for sure.
And so you get saved. What's your grandma's name?
Her name was Jean Counsel. Jean Counsel. Yeah. Full of wise counsel.
Full of wise counsel.
Yeah.
And so you get saved. You give your life to the Lord.
I did.
And everything changed for you at that
point. Man, it started. I was still lonely because now I have this house, big house, and I went through a depression for a while. And I don't know the time frame anymore. That was like 2005.
Yeah,
it all kind of blurs, but I was in a dark place, and I wouldn't turn the lights on. I just kind of lived in internally. I cut out all my friends because they were all people that they were contacts. I was a contact for, and I cut all the people who were trying to buy stuff from me. And man, I just started, and that's why I had nothing. So it was just me. Here's this moment in isolation.
So you get saved?
Yeah.
And then everybody just thinks, well, I went to church and everything just gets great. Now it's like, it's getting better, but now you're in depression.
Right. And I mean, I don't know where to go. I don't know who my friends are now. And I've already built up all these friendships that really I'm realizing these weren't friends. These were just people I was, you know, doing business with. And these were business associates more than anything.
So everything's new.
Yeah.
And you're depressed.
Yeah.
How do you get out of because I know that's a dark spot, right? Like, how did you...
Yeah, because of all the drink and weed and pills, I was about 240 pounds, I think, 240 pounds.
Yeah.
And so I just started, I started getting in the Word, and then I started walking and hiking and running. And so I had a hiking trail behind my house at that time. And then, I need to get my mind right. I need to get my physical body right.
Did you join a community?
Again.
Did you? Was that important to you?
I was loosely.
Then?
Unfortunately, Pastor Juan, there's not the two churches I was bouncing between because of I knew them. There was no community for my age. You know, they were all older or just, you know, really young kids, but there was nobody my age to really do life with. And so this is where it led me to one night. I'm sitting there. And I'm missing all these people, quote, friends, right? So I reach out to them, where are you going to be? We're going to be, you know, here. And so at that time, I'm on an antidepressant. It's a 24-hour time-release Xanax that my doctor gave me. And so, depression, man, I was just wasn't feeling it, life.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't going to do harm to myself. But so I go and hang out with them, and I have a few drinks. And guess what? I'm tipsy, but I had that Xanax and a few drinks. I get pulled over. I get a DWI. Now, this is my second DWI because after I got arrested with my dad, I got a DWI. So that was a crazy story in itself.
Yeah.
And so I go to jail. I had, you know what's worse? I had to check myself into jail for the next 5 weekends. Like, take me to jail. But don't make me come check myself into jail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get to go home for a little bit. You leave and you come back. You leave and you come back.
Listen, Juan, and after this, the fifth weekend is a 72-hour, so it's 48 hours, and the fifth weekend is 72 hours. My cousin picks me up from jail drunk. I don't have a driver's license. I lost it because of two DWIs.
Yep.
Well, so I have to drive him home. I drive him home to pick up my truck so that I can go home. I get pulled over on the way to my home, and I go right back to jail that same night.
Well, you must have been a stubborn one.
Oh, my God.
The Lord was like, okay, again, okay, again.
Repeat. And so finally, yes, I said, okay, the laws of the land, I got to obey them. So I've got to get to a place where I can't drive. I don't have to drive. And so I moved to Austin, Texas. There's transportation, there's public transportation. And that's when I got plugged into a church that was the first church. In fact, I had a friend take me, said, let's find the church. Let's find the bus route that the church is on and get an apartment complex that's on that bus route, because all I'm going to do is go to church, meet friends, and I'm changing my life. And I'm going to bury myself in that relationship, those relationships right there.
Yeah, you know, the part I heard was a bus, a train, a plane, an automobile.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like sometimes we make so many. I had told this literally this past weekend to somebody that I know that goes to the church. And so we had a quick dialogue. And so, you know, because I come out of a lot of that stuff, you can't really lie to me.
Yeah.
You know. So we had this conversation and I was like, look, I need you to chase Jesus like your life depended on it. And I said, because I remember like, let's say you go to a friend's house and he ain't got weed, right?
Yeah.
And so you didn't go, oh, I can't find the weed. I'm going home. Like, no, you walked. you did everything you could until you found it.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever drug it was, right? I used to joke around and say, look, even when you, like, had some girl, right? And she's like, you coming over? Like, I don't care if you fell, the bike broke. You show up with the bike, you know, all beat up, you know, limping. But you got there. I go, now your lifeline is Jesus, and you have every excuse. You know, you'll take an Uber to go pick up drugs. You'll take an Uber to go to the chick's house, but you won't take an Uber to be in community.
Yeah.
Or you won't call the very community that you say you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all. I'm saying that because that's all I heard you say right now. Like, throw away. Your friend was like, throw away the excuses. Let's find you a bus route, and let's get you in community.
Yeah.
Because that's a lifeline.
Yeah.
That's. You picked your friends and it took you over there. You're picking your new friends that are going to take you to a different direction.
That's,
you know,
exactly,
so I think
right.
That's important.
And it was unknown. So it's a complete mystery because I don't know these people. I'm from a little small town.
Totally.
I'm coming to Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
So we found this this apartment complex. I get a room, a hotel. I mean, an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, you know, he leaves. He's going back home. Thank you for getting me here and bringing all my stuff. It was a struggle. It's like the demons just arrived in my
oh,
apartment.
Because totally.
I'm like, do I really want to go to church tomorrow or do I want to go to 6th Street tonight? And that was a battle. It was just rising up inside mm-hmm. of me. And I'm like, I'm not here for that. So you got to hear this part, though.
Yeah.
This is God moment after God moment. And just following the promptings of the Lord.
That's crazy.
He just led me through it. No, it's God.
Come on.
And so that next day, all right, I'm looking, bus route runs. Church starts at this time. I'm going to go to the bus stop. So I go to the bus stop, I'm waiting, no bus. I go and I look at the sign, it doesn't run on Sundays. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? So I got to call a taxi. I'm calling a taxi. Taxi comes and picks me up and takes me to church. I'm looking at the meter, $10.81. I can still see the red little, you know, numbers in the meter.
Mm-hmm.
$10. I'm like, this is going to cost me $22 every time I go in back to and from church every Sunday. This is going to cost a lot. I go to church, I go to the first service, and I meet the pastor's wife coming through the parking lot. She sees me getting out of the taxi cab. She comes and greets me. Now, this is a large church.
Sure.
She comes and greets me, and she says, oh, you know, guides me to where I need to be, tells me about the young adults and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, you know, have that meet the pastor in between services
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I meet the pastor, and then he kind of brings my story into the second message, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Second
that.
Service. Yeah, well, I didn't know. You know, like,
story.
I didn't know. And
yeah.
So I stayed for the second service,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, he's talking about me. And he was talking about mighty men of God making bold moves and getting out of old places. And I'm like, you know.
You gave him a whole sermon.
Hey, I
did.
He said
a whole sermon series.
Yeah.
He's still preaching it.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so I have to, you know, humble pie because, you know, again, I'm in control. I'm a little proud. I've got my nice vehicle. I had a Dodge 2500 diesel on 20s back then. I mean, it was everything. Like, this was, I was killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I got to go to my bus stop and get a taxi is what I got to do today. And so I'm watching everybody leave and everybody's looking at me. He's that one guy who's all by himself waiting on a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
I call a taxi and I'm waiting, and here comes mm-hmm. a little minivan taxi turning the corner, coming down. It's like, that must be for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nigerian. He pulls up and he says, "Hey, you need a taxi?" And I'm trying to get to my apartment. I tell him all that stuff. Anyway, we're having a conversation. He's just shooting random conversations and talk. And the more he's talking, the more I'm like, this guy kind of knows my story.
Come experience the love that will change your life every Sunday at Get Rap Church.
Visit us at 23221 Alden Westfield Road in Spring, Texas, 77373 for 3 services at 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 12 p.m.
Not in Houston, not a problem. Join us for our online service from anywhere in the world by downloading our free Get Rap TV app or by visiting Get Rap Church's YouTube channel.
Also, be sure to check us out at Get Rap People on all social media platforms to stay up to date on everything happening at Get Rap Church.
Well, good.
Like, he's talking stuff that is very relevant to my current situation right now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of freaking me out because I'm like, he don't know me. And we just left an 800-person church because it's not like he would ever be able to. But your mind goes there whenever God starts to move. You start to fear who's manipulating, who knows, who's told somebody, because that's the world you come out of, right?
Totally. But it's a verse, right? You walk by faith and not by sight. Exactly. Sight is the logic and the reasoning, which we all go to first.
Exactly.
Goal is to lean into the faith thing. And at that moment, you don't pretty much even know how to do that yet.
Exactly.
You're like, all right, these are all my thoughts, and those thoughts usually jack us up.
That's right. That's right. I just know that I got to get out of one town and into another place and into an environment. So he gets me to my apartment, and so he says, "Hey, I just want you to know that's my church too." I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "And I'm going to give you a ride every Sunday to and from church and anywhere else you need for as long as you need."
That's fine.
Crazy.
So
Sundays, any Sunday, whenever, you get going, you're in it, you're hungry, but then something happens and you're like, I don't want to go anymore. And your rubber band pops of life. And he would call me though. He wasn't waiting for me to call him. He goes, "I'm on my way." And I tell him, "No, I'm not coming." "Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I'll be there in about 15 minutes. And so it was God moving people like that.
That's fire.
Yeah. For a year.
That's really, that's Jesus.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you could tell, right? Because the normal human would not.
No.
But Jesus would make a human do those things.
That's right.
And, that's really important, man. I feel like that's really, really important.
So the cool thing was I got in young adults. And I'm 27, 28 at this time.
You still look like you're 27, 28.
Man, I know, right?
Yeah, keep going.
I'm married young.
Come on.
Keeping me young. And so most of the people I'm hanging out with are in a discipleship program or whatever to school. And they're 20, or young 20s, mid-20s, or college students, things like that. The young adults pastor is my age. But so I go on Thursday nights. Thankfully, the bus runs on Thursday nights and Thursdays, so I go. Mm-hmm. But then there's this one young kid. He's 18, 19 years old, and he goes, "Jimmy." His name is Jimmy James.
Jimmy James.
Long hair, just wild as can be. Fun, though.
Yeehaw.
Charismatic, through the roof. He goes, "Man, I'm adopting you. Nobody's going to take you home but me every Thursday. I got you." I'm like, "Okay, Lord." And he did. Like,
praise God for the body, man. For the big shout out to the remnant.
Yeah, that's right.
Big shout out to the remnant. I love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
What upsets me is when I see, the planet on social media. I'm not going to go on that rant right now because I said I wouldn't. But you could tell maturity based upon people's lives, their actions. You could just tell. And I feel like that's important to know that there's a remnant out there. There's still the body of Christ is still out there that comes along, edifies, picks up, builds up, encourages in moments that are difficult.
Yeah.
So I love when I hear stories like that where as wild as Jimmy James was, he was out there. He's like, "Yo, I'm picking you up every Thursday." Like, you don't have a choice.
That's right.
Like, I love that. Because even in the office, I seen there was times where this person didn't have a car and she was doing it for this person. And this person didn't have, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we did that for everything else. Like, you want to go to the club? Somebody going give you a ride. Like, I always tell people, interesting enough, in my life, and maybe you'll know what I'm saying, but I definitely know that the audience know what I'm saying. Like, when you were in the world, like for somebody to, like, even if they didn't have money, right, for somebody to, like, take the tab and spend $300 to get you drunk, they do that.
Yeah.
Right? For somebody to, like, "Hey, no, don't worry about it. I'm going to put out a couple rails out here for free."
Right.
They do that.
They do that.
Right? But I never, I was thinking about this one day. I was like, man, how come nobody ever told me, like, "Hey, you have an eight. Let me take you to something to eat." Like, nobody will spend money on that. Like, I'll get you drunk. I'll get you high. I'll spend some gas to pick you up to go do crazy stuff.
That's right.
But nobody ever says in the world, like, "Hey, you know what? Let's go. I'm going to pay your dinner." They're like, "Pay your dinner, man. You better get your own money." But they'll give you a rail.
That's right.
Right? And it's so interesting. It's like weird at the same time. It's like, man, I never had a person really ask me. I'm thinking about it. All those years, 23 years of chaos, not one person ever said, hey, you just got out. Yeah. So let me fill your fridge with groceries. Mm. The first thing they said is, let's go hang out. You know, let's go party. And so they might not give you money, but they're going to get you high. They're going to get you drunk.
Yep.
You know, they'll even give you a hotel room to go get busy, but they're not going to literally go help you with like the normal net. Like, I don't have food.
That's right. Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
Yep, it is. It's nuts.
And we fall for it all the time. We think that's friendship and that's love. And we think, oh, yeah, no, they love me because they gave you like drugs. Like they're trying to ruin you.
A sense of belonging. You know, that's what we're all longing. One thing we're all longing for. Identity, purpose, belonging. Where do I belong? And people want, I want you to belong with me. And so in this culture of what we do, and so it's more about what we do.
And so how old are you now?
I'm 46.
46. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got your license now.
I got my license. Thankfully I got my license. You know what? Yeah, man, God worked all that stuff out. I got to tell you, I lost my license, but the probation officer I had was a youth pastor for a Methodist church, and he was tracking.
Only do it.
Yeah, he was tracking with me the whole way, and he could see the transformation that I couldn't see within me. And even when I was moving counties from Longview, Texas, over to Austin, he's like, I would normally transfer people over to that area, but I want you to stay with me and just come back when it's time to meet with for probation. And so I had to literally just fly back and forth between Gregg County Airport and Austin Airport and get a ride over, and
Okay, so I'm going to do two things because I want to hear these things, and then we're going to go to a break.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do two things. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I was thinking of this one question, but I'm like, I think I'm going to save that one for the end. Maybe, I don't know. Let's see how this goes. All right. So, usually there's this thing where we, you know, you ever had a conversation with somebody, said, man, if I knew what I knew now, if I would have known it then, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had came up with this thing where we basically put you in the DeLorean, kind of like Back to the Future, and you get in the car, and then, you know, it's Allie with the white hair. Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then pretty much goes back into time, and then pretty much give yourself advice.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want the first one. I'm going to ask you first, if we were going to do that, what time would you go back to? It could be a year ago. It could be 6 months. It could be 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15. It could be 20.
Yeah.
Right. What time would you go back? And I want you to talk to Nathan.
Yeah. That's
good. What would you say?
Yeah, I would go back to around the 16, 17. That's when things 16, started breaking. Old.
Yeah. Okay. Do it.
Yeah. So like,
you're talking to Nathan.
Oh, okay. Hey, Nathan, listen.
First, what day was it? What was he wearing? 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, man, he was fly as can be. Abs, I mean, just ripped. Like,
really?
Flat out strong.
You had abs on that?
Hey, my first car was an 87 IROC Z with T-tops. Man, it was killing it.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, killing it.
I had
212s in the hatch, but I had 212s in the hatch. Hey, I had my little cell phone where you click it in.
Yeah.
And then everything.
But he wasn't doing that good because you're about to talk to him.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Go talk to Nathan. What would you say to him?
Yeah, I would tell him. If I'm sitting down with that Nathan, hey, listen, these things, it was family matters. It started breaking things out.
Talk to him.
And these things. So Nathan, listen, this isn't going to last forever. This isn't about you. This is more about what's going on inside of them and their hearts. This is their part. Don't let it affect you negatively. Don't let this cause you to make decisions out of your emotions that are going to drive you to a place where you're trying to fill a void, don't let this create a void. So I would remind you to stay steadfast, to not go a path that's going to bleed into further pains, but rather, and I want to tell you about this guy named Jesus that you grew up knowing about, you met the church, but I want you to meet Jesus. And so I would tell you, Nathan, it's time to give your life to the Lord rather than giving your life to the world. Don't try to fill in that void with these other alcohol, drugs, you know, women and the girls and all those little things. Stay away from that. Let me guide you. Let me disciple you. And I'll lead you into a place where you'll find real community with people who really love you and have a better idea of what your future can look like than what you've been given. Yeah.
Nice. So you're back.
Ooh, man, here
you pulled
I am.
Back. Man, how was that? That was pretty neat.
That was pretty cool. I wish I would have heard that.
Yeah, well, somebody did. The reason we do that is because somebody is at that moment, and you were saying a lot of stuff that people can actually even do now, right? Yeah. So I'm going to put you in the car now. My turn. I'm going to put you in a couple places. So the first one is I want to put you back to a time where you're talking to your father.
Mm-hmm. good.
What would you say to him? Back then.
Back then.
It could be at any age you want.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Talking to your dad.
Well, right now, hey, listen, don't be stupid. You know, come home.
Yeah.
Be home.
But with everything you know now, right? Because you know a lot now. So you're going back and you're going to talk to your dad.
Yeah. Hey, listen, what's more important is that your family has you at home and they have your presence, they have your awareness, they have your physical touch, they have your encouragement, they have your love on a daily basis. They're not just looking for your financial provision or, you know, and that we're tired of watching you try to fill your own voids from your own childhood, trying to replay some things in your life that you wish would have been better or you wish you had to do for your own siblings because your dad was gone and your mother was gone. We need you. We need you here at home. We need your presence, and we just need your love.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Your grandma, I put you back in the car. Mm-hmm. Is she still around?
No, she passed away about four years ago.
So if you go back to that time when pretty much she led you to the Lord and that day.
Yeah.
And you could talk to her. What would you say to her?
Yeah. You probably know what this can lead to, but I want you to know what it did lead to. And this led to a complete life transformation. It led to a generation transformation. It led to generations around me, people being transformed and lives being changed. And this one moment that you were so bold to wait and be patient for to lead me to this guy, Jesus, that I needed to know that you knew so well and you always told me about, man, the fact that you led me to him, I call her Grandma. Grandma, it has transformed not just my life, not just your great-grandkids, but also your daughter, your former son-in-law, your family, and also other people in our community. Yeah, man. Ah, thank you. I'm a crier.
So am I. I don't trust a person that don't cry. You know, that's just my life. I'm like, you ain't crying. Something wrong. You ain't broken. You know. But I think all of those things had some really powerful messages. I don't know if you're watching and all that and you rewind and just hear them out and let them speak to your heart, because you might be grandma and you might have thought maybe you're losing hope on somebody, or maybe you're not presenting the gospel, or maybe you're not. There's so many things that think about if you heard this story. Maybe you're the grandma in this story, and you might be an uncle, a father, a friend, right? You might be Jesse James, I was going to say, Jimmy
That's
James,
right.
You know, you might be him. It depends who you are in the story. Don't miss it because it got difficult or because the person's difficult. Make sure that we're always thinking kingdom and purpose, and you will be that person in those stories, because sometimes we want to opt out of the things that maybe might agitate us or might seem really hard.
Yeah.
And praise God for those people that you mentioned throughout this interview, that if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be who you are today, right? Obviously Jesus, but the Jesus in these people, working through these people, collectively, all things work together to bring this product. And sometimes we minimize the guy, you know, it might not be the guy who's preaching, it just may be just a ride can create an impact.
That's right.
A sit down and a conversation with someone may create an impact. So you don't have to be the all famous preacher to sit with someone and have a conversation that might lead them to the Lord. That might be difficult, right? Because a lot of times conversations are difficult.
Yeah.
And but a good friend will have them despite the outcome, because at some point, if that's a really good friend or a brother or a sister or somebody, when they sit down and think, they're going to say thank you.
Yeah.
They might not that day, right? I'm going to put you in the car one more time.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
I'm going to put you in the car one more time.
Come on.
Well, two more times.
All right, that's
and
good.
Then I'm going to bring back, and then I'm going to bring
like
in.
I like the DeLorean.
Okay. You like the DeLorean?
Yeah.
I mean, the DeLorean is incredible, because if we've went through something that we could explain, then the truth is that you might not have to.
Yeah.
Right? Because you could take, you know, if we knew what we knew, right? Yeah. So we're giving it to you. Let me give you a little secret.
All right.
Every time I've sat with someone, anybody, whether it was Marcus Burkeen, my number one question, this is my start-off question.
Yeah.
I said, if you could go back, I always put them in the DeLorean. They just don't know I'm putting them in the DeLorean.
Yeah.
But I said, if you could go back to the beginning, whatever I want to learn,
yeah,
the back of marriage and the back of ministry, right? I say, what would you say to yourself? And they give me solid answers because they have 40, 50 years, right? They're giving me an answer of like, oh, I'm talking to myself and I'm listening to what they're saying. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
That's good.
Thank
that's
you,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the banker or any story has a back end.
Yeah.
And so they've learned tons of stuff. Why would I not want to know? That's all I want to know. And then I go, oh, that's it. I'm done with questions.
That's right.
Because you just, they just start, you know, talking. And I think it's just important to know these things, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm gonna put you in the car.
All right.
And I don't know where you want to go. I almost wanted to have you talk to him now, but this is what I was like, oh, I'll do it at the end. You know your brother. We've had conversations about your brother before. I want to put you in the DeLorean and I want you to talk to him. And what time would it be? Right? Like maybe he got out of the prison because he's been in prison now. He's in prison now, but he got out of prison last time.
Yeah.
So I want you to, right before he gets locked up again, I want you to talk to that guy.
Oh, man.
You get me?
Yeah.
Because he was locked up.
Yeah.
He messed up. Okay, cool. You started working, and for some reason, he made some decisions.
Yeah.
Right? Because somebody else is right. You know, most of the time, you say, how many of y'all been locked up? Two, three. Everybody's raising their hand.
Right.
So I want you to talk to the guy right there. He prison. He got out.
Yeah.
What would you say to him before he messes up?
Yeah, you know.
Or after, you know.
Yeah, one of those times, like, this guy, he's a great guy, great heart. You know, in fact, the last time he was out, he fell in love with the Lord. This guy was on fire. All he did was care about people and their hearts and deliverance and freedom and healing. And so I would tell him right now, hey, listen, that's obviously whenever you align with the Lord, that is the path that he has for you. So the consequences of choices lead back to prison, but the consequences of humility and obedience with the Lord, like you were walking out, lead to favor, grace, mercy, and the abundance that he truly still has for you in your life and the generations that came after you and come after you. And so I say, listen, look at that. Look at the two paths. Look at the decisions that were made and when they were made and how they were made. Reflect on that, gain wisdom. And when it comes to a relationship, a female, he's going to bring the right woman because she will be more hungry for the Lord than she is hungry for him. And it will be ever so obvious that he doesn't have to get sidetracked for a woman ever again.
Super dope.
Yeah.
Awesome. One last time I'm going to put you in the thing and then we're going to the break. They're probably this guy just said he's going to the break. I put you in the DeLorean five times.
Don't break. Listen, don't break. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I got it.
I'm going to get you one.
One just sold for $100,000. I saw it. Get me one.
I should have got that DeLorean because I do the story. Think about it, having it in the studio.
Dude.
We're putting you in the I'm going to make one.
Yeah. I saw this reel. You got two people going crazy. I saw this reel and it was like, it was showing this, you have a Cybertruck. Yeah. It was showing this Cybertruck in Mexico.
Oh, they're going to start talking about me now.
Look, he goes, Elio Musco. Elio Musco. La primera Cybertruck in Mexico.
Now I got to talk. Now I got to have a whole list of reels just on that. But look, here's the thing. Yes, but God has been good.
Yeah.
And so, here's I want to put you back because you're into business. You're creating all these things.
Yeah.
And now, you know, in the beginning they heard all that and then they're hearing the story.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you in the DeLorean. There was maybe right to the time as a business person.
Yeah.
What would you say to Nathan when he first started and he was thinking about doing all this stuff, but he hasn't started anything and maybe he doesn't see it tangibly, but he's believing, but you just started. What would you say to that Nathan? Because I'm sure that Nathan wanted to quit. What would you say to that Nathan knowing now what you know to the guy who's starting this stuff?
Yeah, you know, I think all my history helped prepare me for understand, or at least having a risk-taking factor inside of me. So, so you know, I would say one thing is, hey, listen, God's put it in your heart. You can see it. You just have to understand that there is a way, there's a financial way that this can happen. And now, you know, I'm speaking to you from the future. What's time is to really try to get some coaching, get some wealth management counseling and direction, some coaching, investment coaching in that area. Find some different ways to get different streams of income coming, but there is a way for you to not only get this income, but to also develop these properties, these businesses, to be able to have equity, extra equity that you can then turn around and pull out so you can in cash so that you can further develop not only that business but then other businesses as you continue to grow. And so I would, you know, from the risk-taking point, is don't be afraid, because if it is one, God putting it in your heart, and it is, you've done your due diligence and homework, man, go after it. go after it.
Nice.
And so that's what I tell myself now. I literally have those conversations and I check
myself.
Wow,
so you talk to yourself.
Oh, yeah, I check myself. Because the fear factor wants to rise up and like, no, Nathan, you've seen this, you've done this, and God's already brought you through all of this. And so he's not going to bring you to a place to fail. No, he's not going to bring you to a place to fail.
Because when you start walking by faith and not by sight, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. Most people walk by sight that go to church. They just do.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. And so the way you overcome a lot of that stuff is you have to walk according to the promises in the word, right? That's the lamp that lights onto your feet. And by faith is you're trusting and putting confidence in what God says above what human logic and reasoning says.
Yeah.
Right?
I got to tell you, too, you'll get this because, you know, you're just so good at these things and the way you guys market.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, you are. But I was... what you're saying is I was you know, in that moment where God has your heart tender and you're pliable. Two movies I want to tell you that I was sitting in the movie theater, shouldn't have been, but I'm bawling, crying all by myself, sucking like a baby. I'm like,
come on.
And one of them's the Book of Eli, right?
Yeah.
That's what he does. Denzel Washington's just doing the whole movie. And God's sitting there speaking to me all through this.
Oh,
and I'm like,
Denzel,
I'm pouring tears.
Right?
I'm hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one was one of the Fast and Furious where they go to Brazil and they're in Brazil and they're, you know, but that's the moment where God's calling me to go to move to Honduras, to another country, to live and reach these people. And God, he's showing me how he's been preparing that ever since. You talked about in small towns, family barbecues.
Yes.
My grandfather used to, every Friday, all the cousins, all the nephews, all the you know, the aunts, uncles, all of his kids and grandkids, get us together. And we had fish fry every Friday. And so to me, that was broken up through divorce and death and... But, you know, who does that the best? Well, Hispanics, the Latin American community. So God uses that later in life to get my attention of that's something that I miss, but that's this culture that they love. And then he brings this crazy little Honduran guy into my life.
Uh-huh. I thought you were going to go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, into my life, and we're talking about... And
this is before you meet your wife?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. You know what?
Okay.
You just got on the little plane.
Yeah.
Because you wind up going to Honduras, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what... Okay. Honduras. We'll be right back.
Yeah, come on.
And we're going to bring on Pastor Allie, you know.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. This is Real Family for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.